Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Authoress Terry E. Lyle and Chris Michael Ward, and I want to first say thank you to all my listeners around the world in 42 countries that tune in. I want to thank everyone listening from north to south and east to west, and I want to give a special shout out to my extended family, Teddy and Sarah Jackson. I love you from the ground of God. You know, for everybody out there listening, you know, it's a great show. This is part two about real estate made simple, but before I bring my guest on, I want to say hi to my co-host, Chris. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, Terry. How are you?
Well, I wish I was better. I wish I could get some prayers, man, because trying to keep that pressure down is escalated. But thank you for asking, Chris. How you
You're
doing,
welcome.
Darling?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine, yeah.
Well, bless your heart. Well, you know, we had Ms. Brandon Jordan on here before, and she was talking about real estate made simple, and we ran into so many calls that we couldn't complete the show. So if y'all want to ask a question about guests, please hit the one key and I'll unmute your mic. Otherwise, you'll stay muted. But without further ado, we're going to bring this beautiful woman on here, Brenna John Jordan, and I hope that y'all pray for her and her daughter as well, because they're not feeling their best either. But we're going to power through because we're warriors, you know. We might not look like it, but we step in. So how you doing, Brenna?
I'm doing well. Much better today. So we are doing much
better. Thank you, darling. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
So I got a question. For people who never thought that they could own property, or for someone who might have been in a system like Section 8, you know, and they was able to save maybe some of their income tax check, what is the bare essentials that a person needs to become a homeowner?
Well, first off, they need to make sure if you said if they're able to take their income tax, so if they get a good, well, not even a good, but if they feel like they got enough of income tax to start buying a home, what do they need from that point on? So
yes.
I kind of want to make sure that you do have some money put aside, if not all that income tax. So if you want to use your income tax, I say to hold it to the side, start your pre-approval process, and then you will see what you need. You need money for an inspection. So you're going to want to get an inspection done. And an inspection on a home can cost, you could say around $300. You may find one less than that.
$500, but okay.
Yeah, and it could be, say, depending on the square footage of your home, that's going to be the cost. So most inspectors spend around $300, but they're going to determine that cost based on the square footage. Because anytime you get one done, they're going to want to know what's the square footage of that home. So it could be $500, could get some less than $300. It just depends on the square footage. You're going to also want to have money for your appraisal, because whatever lender you go through, 9 out of 10, you're going to have to pay for that appraiser up front out of your pocket. Now, you may get that back at closing. It just depends on what you and that lender have agreed to or what they, tell you while you're going through your process. But you will have to pay for that up front. And then there may be some things that in between there that let's just say that you have the inspection done and you and the seller, the buyer and the seller, may agree upon some things that the seller may not do. So you as the buyer may have to get those things done after the fact. You know, you may have to get that done, so you want to make sure that you have, money to cover those things. And then I always say with purchasing a home that you want to have a little cushion on the side, you know, even after you close, because you never know. You know, you may get in that home and there may be some things you need to have done to it, so you want to make sure you have a little cushion there.
Well, let me ask you this. What is the lowest credit score a person has to even qualify to be considered for, you know, homeowners?
Well, I don't like to tell them the lowest because I have one. It's a mortgage. I have two mortgage brokers that I go to. That's my go-to. So one of them, she just recently told me that she can get somebody in a home with like around a 540. But see, there are certain things that she may do
that's
that another may not be willing to do, you know. I guess it just depends on that lender and the different programs that they have. However, though, there's different requirements for FHA. There's different requirements, credit score for conventional. Conventional is a little higher. And then what's the other one? FHA, conventional, VA, but, you know, VA is for veterans. And so it's different credit requirements depending on the type of loan that you're getting.
I want to ask you a question real quick because I had conventional and mine was a little higher. But for people who don't know, and this is the first time they even thought about getting a home because they was always depending on their parents or their grandparents to have property and you're waiting for them to die to get become a homeowner, which is sad to say, but, you know, you got some people out there, you know, don't want to do it for themselves. They want something already set up. So what does FHA mean? What does conventional mean? And obviously VA is for veterans.
Now, conventional loan, if you get a conventional loan, a lot of times conventional, they're a little more lenient when it comes to, like, the appraisal that you get done on a home because conventional is a lot of times for a home that might require repairs to be done. So you may see a home, I'm just going to say, for instance, let's just say just thinking of something. Let's say an AC unit may be missing from the home. So when an AC unit is missing from the home, conventional loan may work with that home because with the conventional loan, you're able to have certain repairs done to the home, you know, that while you're going through the process, in other words, if that makes sense. Then you're able to use that to you're able to go through the process of getting your loan while you're in the process of, and then you're getting things done before you close. That's a conventional loan. Of course, the credit score is a little higher, but you're able to go through that. That's why the appraisal report is a little lenient with the conventional loan because that home may require certain repairs. Whereas with the FHA, Federal Housing Administration. So that's FHA is a little more stricter when it comes to your appraisal report because they require certain things to be already done with the home. For instance, I have had buyers that has been approved for FHA, and let's just say if the appraisal is done and they come out and they see that, you know how like you have the you can have like the posts in front of your home. They're the wood poles, some people call it, but the post that's on a porch. So let's say like the wood is chipping on it off. FHA is very strict with that. They may say that the seller have to get that done. Or there may be something that's missing on the front of your home. Let's just say if you have siding on your home and the siding is peeling off. Well, the appraiser can come out and FHA says that all this needs to be done before you actually close on the home. So an FHA appraiser is a little more stricter because before they approve you for that home, it's certain things that have to be done that's approved by FHA before we can completely close on that home. If the seller does not, and it's required of the seller to do this, so if an appraisal is done and it comes back and say XYZ needs to be done before we can approve this FHA loan, that means the seller has to get it done. And if the seller does not do it, then the buyer cannot close on that home. So 9 out of 10, the seller is going to do it because you want to sell your home. And if you pull out of that, that appraisal report is going to stick to your home so many months. So you're going to get it done. I mean, you know. And so so FHA is a little more stricter.
Yeah, I know. I sold my home. It was a person who bought it was FHA. But, you know, some luckily for me, I really didn't have anything they could report except for a little bit, like maybe an inch of dry rot allegedly around the chimney on the house that you could barely see. But I said, oh, here, $1,800, you know, take care of it because I didn't see that. But, you know, I think they was lying, but whatever.
And then, like you said, for the VA, that is, you know, a great loan. I mean, awesome, great. All of them are great. But VA is for the veterans, and, you know, it's 100% financing, and that's amazing, too. The appraisal is still the same. It's a little, like I said, conventional is the more lenient one when it comes to appraisal. So VA, they're going to be strict with that appraisal as well, but that's for our veterans. And so and VA is 100% financing, and it's amazing. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah, well, it's about time to give something to the veterans for what they have done, you know, serving
right.
our country. Because, you know, far as it's kept, you know, I could have never went into the military because I'm not going to have nobody telling me what I got to do and I got to be fighting somebody else's battle. If I got an issue with somebody, it's going to be somebody I see, not something that is caused by different countries, you know, and politicking and creating a problem. I'm not doing it. I'm not putting my life out there. You know, so me, that's who I am. But I thank God for all the other people who did that because you was not only fighting for yourself, you was fighting for me. And, you know, if it was the time, if I was young enough, you know, I'm sorry, I'd probably be a draft dodger, you know, say what you will. But, you know, I appreciate and I love all the veterans and thank you for serving our country. But Terry Law, man, I would have to run to Canada somewhere. It was not happening. So, Chris, you got a question for Verna. Go ahead, darling.
Yeah, Verna, my first question is, before someone buys or rents a home in a neighborhood, should they Google the neighborhood, or is that being overly paranoid?
No. Before you buy or you rent, I always say do your research. No, I don't think and over paranoid, I think you need to do your research. Because especially when you're buying, that's a major purchase, you know. When you're renting is still major, but, you know, you're in the lease, right? So 9 out of 10, if people don't like the area, what they're going to do, they can break their lease. But when you're buying, that's major. You can't just up and buy and say, oops, I'm going to break this mortgage, you know. So, no, I don't think that's been over. I think you need to do your research.
Great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, Verna. Chris said something that made me think about something. I knew this person was in the situation was rent to own. Now, is that a way for people to get money out of a person? Because really, you know, can the person whose property is, can they just say, well, okay, 5 months and I changed my mind, you know, and start that little process all over again? Or is it locked in that person that's written to own, are they locked in? Can they get out? Is there any kind of contingencies where they can break that agreement? How does that work? Because I've heard a lot about rent to own, but to be honest, I don't know the dynamics about it.
I don't either. But one thing I will tell you what I have told people that ask about it. One thing I have told
you. I know you just said you didn't either. Girl.
No, yeah.
That's the first one.
Well, no, I'm saying the rent-to-own part of it because the reason why I say that is because everybody that's a contract, you know, and that's why I tell people that. That's a contract. So anytime you do rent-to-own, you got to read that contract because anytime somebody does a rent-to-own, they have wrote out a contract. And so in that contract, it'll tell you, you know, what you can and cannot do. And rent-to-own is basically what it's saying, you're renting to own. So even if you do break that, I'm sure there's some kind of clause in that contract. So that's why I say that when I say that, not being funny when I say I don't know, but because I actually read their contract to see what their contract states. So, yeah, oh. I'm being funny, but I wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah,
I have another Yeah. Brent, I got another question. It might sound crazy. I know a lot of people out there in love and also other stuff, and they've been together maybe a little bit of time, and all of a sudden they want to buy a home together with the idea that marriage is coming down the road, you know. What do you say about people who are not married? They become entangled in buying a property together. Is that a good advice, or is that like, I don't know?
I mean,
I hear your brain is moving.
I mean, I don't. For me, I would not do it.
Me,
you know, my personal opinion. But however, whatever someone chooses to do, I mean, that's on them. But for me, I would not. You know, I would want to be married before I made that type of purchase. So I can't. I mean, somebody asked me what my opinion. No, I would not do it. I would want to be married.
Yeah, because you know it might be ugly trying to get out of it. So Chris got another question. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, my other question is, I've never bought a house or rented a house personally.
Uh-huh.
So is it sold based on how many rooms, or is it sold based on how big the house is in general?
Is what
go back
you want.
Go back to what
he
you,
asked
you
what it based on the house, the purchase is based on what the person wants.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, yeah. So, like, when you get ready to buy a house, the house is not, yeah, not, yes, yeah, like she says, based on what you want. So, if you was getting ready to buy a house, we would have to see what you're pre-approved for, you know, like your amount. And then
okay.
That way, price range, what area to, I mean, that range to stay in. And then you would tell me, like, how many bedrooms, how many baths you want.
Oh.
You want a garage, you know, do you want a fence yard, a big yard? So you would tell me what kind of things you want for that house. And then I would look and find those type of house for you within your pre-approved price range.
All right. Silly,
okay.
Silly me. I thought it was based on the size of the house. Silly me.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. You know, and based on what Chris was just asking you, Verna, I want to say something to people, you know. Now, I think this is, I don't know, I have about four different homes now. Anyway, I have about four different homes or more. But I advise anybody who's out there trying to buy a home, this is just my opinion, but listen to what I'm trying to tell y'all. If you buy a house that has one bathroom and that bathroom is in your bedroom, I suggest you don't buy that house. And this is the reason why. Because anytime you have companies, they got to come into your private sanctuary, your private area, and they got to use a bathroom. And in your bedroom, you have things laying down here and there. And some people got sticky fingers. I'm just saying, me personally,
yeah.
Don't ever buy a house where your bathroom's in the bedroom unless it's your ensuite and you have an extra bathroom out in the hallway somewhere. Like I have an ensuite, and that's what a fancy word for a bathroom in your bedroom is called, an ensuite. But if you don't have a secondary bathroom, don't do it. That's just my opinion. What you think, Verna?
I agree. You need to have a separate. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, I do not want you coming in my bedroom to use a bathroom. No.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. Bathroom. I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I had friends, yeah, had apartments that was made like that, you know, and that was like shady,
yeah.
Man. I said, ooh, no.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I was gonna say I lived in a house with my late partner, so I know what kind of, I had a bedroom with a bathroom attached, but nobody used it except, you know, us.
Okay.
So would you send him down to the gas station to use the bathroom when he had to pee?
Oh, no, there is three bathrooms. There's one downstairs, and then there's one upstairs.
Oh, okay,
and then
okay.
There's, yeah. I'm sorry,
okay,
I should have said that to begin with, but I was trying to get to the point.
Anyway. Oh, okay. So, now, Verna, I have another question. When a person that's not married and they have a home together, should they have another additional contract, say, for instance, like a prenup for the real estate property that they own, so that if something happens, they can divide the assets equally, or say, well, this person is going to pay for closing when they put it back on the market? Is that a smart thing to do? If you're not married and you got a property together, should they have an additional contract to cover their behind if it don't work out?
I think you should. I mean, that's why I was just saying, if you're not married and you do anything and you're not married, I think you should have some stuff wrote out. You know,
yeah,
I don't
blame
you. Out that in the event this happened, then this is how we're divided things, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, some people just act a straight fool. You know, some people make you want to pimp slap them because they act stupid, you know, but, you know.
Right. Oh, Terry. I can see you, Terry.
Yeah.
I can see you being a Rambo. I can see you being a Rambo.
I was like, pow, you know. You know, so let everybody know how to reach you in case they're looking for some property to sell or to buy. Because, you know, you one of them ladies who are on that $1 million club, I heard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You can put it out there.
So you want me to provide them with my information?
Yeah, I'm going to try to get you some business, darling.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So
you're
if they want to reach me, so they can either reach me by my cell phone number, which is area code 706-315-4370, or they can send me an email. My email address is realtorvernajordan@gmail.com, and that's realtor, R-E-A-L-T-O-R, my first name, Verna, V as in Victor, E-R-N-A, last name Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, @gmail.com. If you do not want to call me, you can also send me a text to my cell phone number. I'll respond either way, also to my email as well.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to play my little promo. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying I'm licensed in Alabama and Georgia.
Okay, now, y'all down in the dirty South, there's a lot of property that's out there that needs to be bought or purchased, you
yes.
know, so she's the one, you know, she's the one. But I'm going to take a little small break. We're going to be back, and we're going to say our goodbyes. Stand by.
Thank you.
She's back, and better than ever. From the author that brought you Peeling Back the Mask, Insane, Speechless, Forgiveness, and now her most unfiltered and raw work ever. Authoress Terry Lyle presents Broken from the Inside, Secrets, Lies, Drugs, and More. Author Terry Lyle reveals it all in her latest but true autobiography blockbuster, Broken from the Inside. Books can be purchased on Amazon.com or send $10 to Cash App at Transform10. Multiple copies will be available for discount. Priority shipping available for additional $9.35.
And I want to thank my guest, Verna Jordan, for being here tonight. I want to thank my listeners in the 42 countries around the world. I want to thank my co-host, Chris, for always having it where he can hold me down, you know. And I just thank everyone, you know, that tunes in. I appreciate y'all. But I want y'all to stay safe, you know, have a great weekend, you know, and don't let people get you out of your character. Don't let people make you pissed off. Share kindness and love. You know, if someone got to, you know, be all negative, just suck it up, hold it in, and keep it rolling. And that's my words of advice for tonight. So thank you, Verna. It's been a pleasure. I love you, darling. You know, if you ever want to come back on the show and tell me that, you know, you're into the billionaire status of real estate, you call, because I want to know.
Yes, ma'am. Thank y'all so much for having me. Love y'all.
Love you too, darling. Take care, Chris.
Take care.
Bye-bye. You have a good one. Love you too.
Bye-bye.